Football Friday on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how are we feeling?
Spike, long way from home. Jackie Baseball, howl at you, boy.
Not a great moment for Taiwanimus last night.
Nah, you can bury the Taiwanimus.
He just allowed another home run.
Yeah.
Just allowed another.
Right now, yeah.
14 total miles of Mets home runs last night off of Taiwanimus.
He is a treat.
Yeah, he is. He is. Well, the good thing is we have two more years of him, so not going away anytime soon. Look, we're at Chickies and Pete's in Warrington today for the grand open of their new patio, which we're on, and it is very nice.
Yeah.
Got nice breeze in here.
Well, listen, we know how Pete does it, man.
Yes.
Everything first class.
Yep.
Got a little Wawa thing going on over there, but it'll be ready in a little while.
Yep. Yep.
But other than that, I mean, we got first class service, first class people.
Yep.
You know the food is awesome.
First class.
We know that. We know that. So, yeah, come on out here and join us. Join us.
Join us. So, you know what hasn't been first class, Ike? We got a big game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking all week. A lot of the conversation has been about how bad the defense has been. And rightly so. Defense has been bad, right? Bad against the run, bad against the pass. But I'm thinking about Sunday, and I'm thinking about the future of this season, and thinking about what we talked about the offseason of the calling card of this team was going to be. Mm-hmm. This team was built around offense. More stars than anyone, we said. Explosive offense, we said. It's okay if the defense isn't that good because we're just going to outscore everybody.
Mm-mm. Who said that?
Well, lots of people said
that. Well, Hugh thinks that.
Hugh might have said
that. Yeah, he may have said
30 points a game.
Yeah.
Truthfully, they have been good, but they have not been what we need them to be ultimately for this team to succeed. And I think overall, the thing that has disappointed me the most in the Eagles is not the defense, because I didn't expect much from the defense. It's that the offense has only been good. And when I say that we counted on the offense, I mean not just us, but the team counted on the offense. When you think about where they put their money, right? Mm-hmm. We paid tons of money for the quarterback. We paid tons of money for wide receiver one. We paid tons of money for wide receiver two. Mm-hmm. We paid more for a running back than anybody did. We went outside of what we thought the Eagles would do. We paid the one tackle. Then we paid the other tackle. Then we paid the guard. Money, 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 money. All for the sixth best offense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, they can't be the sixth best offense in the NFL.
Mm.
They have to be one, two, or three.
Mm.
So if we are going to have the successful season that we hope, the offense is going to have to be outrageous. If we're going to go into New Orleans with that tractor right there, if we're going to go into New Orleans.
It's a legit tractor,
yeah,
too.
If we're going to go into New Orleans and win that game, it's because we score 37 points. Mm. Not because all of a sudden Bryce Huff has three sacks, or all of a sudden N'Kobe Dean is Seth Joyner, or all of a sudden, you know, it's just not going to happen. The best case scenario for the defense is their, you know, bottom half of the middle third, right? Their 20th best defense. I've been disappointed in the offense. They have not been good enough. They need to pull their weight, and they have to be better. And I think that has been ultimately the thing that has held them back from being as impressive as we wanted them to be.
Well, I mean, listen, through 2 weeks, I don't know what sort of glasses you're viewing the offense through. They look pretty damn good to me in the first week, scoring 34 points. They scored, what, 22 the other night? 21? I don't even
21.
Know what the final, 21 the other night.
Scored 34 points in the first week, but also turned the ball over three times. And
still scored 34. Think about that. And still scored 34.
Well, but the turnovers count against the offense, though.
I understand that. Yeah. What I'm saying is that the three turnovers didn't have them score 18 points or 17 points.
Yes.
They still scored 34 points. They were still explosive, had over 400 and some yards of offense. I think we're taking what happened in game two and sort of overreacting. I think the offense is fine. It's averaging 27.5 points right now, sixth in scoring. Offense is fine through 2 weeks. We don't even have AJ in the second game. So you have to give the offense some sort of grace You can't expect them to score 37 points without A.J. Brown out there on the field. That would be more surprising than expected. How about the defense give us something? How about the defense give us something?
What is more surprising, the Eagles only scoring 21 points or the Falcons only scoring 22? You see what I'm saying? If I had told you the Falcons are only going to score 22 points,
right,
you would have said we would have won.
Yeah, I had to score 27-23.
Right. So
but I didn't have it 37-23.
Well, but we only scored 21. And the A.J. thing I get, but we can't say we have the most talented offense in the league, and then we lose one guy, and we can't expect them to be good enough.
Well, that's on the coach.
It's on the coach and the players. It's on the offense.
I didn't like the game. Well, that's Kellen Moore. I'm not going to spend all – they don't run plays on their own. They didn't put the game plan together on their own. So Kellen Moore devised the offense. He dialed up what they're going to run. He decides who's going to get the ball, what play he wants to feature such and such on. So they need to open up the playbook, start using other players like Dallas Goedert, find a way to get Jahan Dotson involved in the offense. That's on the coaching. That's on the coaching. But I'll give him that pass because A.J. got hurt late in the week. What I'm saying defensively is you can't tell me I'm going up against the number one offense in the league that's averaging 40 points a game. I don't have my best player on my team, and I'm supposed to go outscore the New Orleans Saints. No, the defense has to do something. The defense has to give us something. I'm not saying you got to keep the Saints to 10 points or 12 points for us to win. But how about 21 points? Make it manageable?
So you want to hold the team that's averaging just for on the road,
mm-hmm.
our defense, who has been one of the worst defenses in the league, mm-hmm. is going to hold the team that's scoring 42 points a game to 21.
I didn't say they're going to do it. I threw a number out
there.
Well,
I just don't think it's realistic. I think what's more realistic is us scoring 37 points.
That's not realistic.
Sure it is.
Without A.J. Brown?
It's got to be.
No, you want it to be. That's not realistic.
That's not realistic.
You can't tell me I got an average quarterback. My best player is out.
We have an average quarterback?
No, that's you. You're telling me my quarterback is average.
Well, then we shouldn't have paid him $50 million.
But they did.
Well, right. So that's where all the money is. So they have to be better.
But just because they paid him $50 million doesn't make him a magician.
I don't need him to be a magician.
Of course you do if you want him to put up 40 points.
Is Derek Carr a magician?
No.
Okay, is he scoring 40 points?
No, Alvin Kamara scored 40 points.
Okay, so Saquon Barkley should score 40 points.
Okay, well then let's Saquon Barkley. Okay, then that's on the coordinator again to give the ball to Saquon Barkley.
I'm not separating the coordinator from the offense. To me, it is all of it because he's part of it. And he's part of what we said coming into this year is mm-hmm. that he would be a reason that the offense could function. And
he would be the reason.
One of the reasons. Also, all the money we spend on all the players, all the best players. We have the best number one. We have the best number two. We have a quarterback who was MVP runner-up 2 years ago. We have a guy who's going to be Christian McCaffrey. All this money spent on these guys.
And you got to have somebody who knows how to use those players.
And we don't think that Kellen Moore. And by the way.
No, honestly, I don't think. I'm saying okay. It's up to him. I'm not asking for 40 points. That's you. I think it's an unrealistic expectation. If we can get 27 points this weekend, 27, 28 points, that should be enough to get a win.
On the road against the highest scoring team in the NFL.
Yeah, first of all, I don't necessarily buy the Saints. I don't buy the Saints. So show me again this week. Show me how great Derek Carr is this week. You know, can Vic Fangio come up with a defensive game plan where we can actually tackle somebody instead of Alvin Kamara just running up and down the field for the last 2 weeks like he did? Like Derek Carr, and other than one deep pass to Shaheed, what has Derek Carr done? What did he do last week? He turned around and handed the ball to Alvin Kamara and the Cowboys laid down. And Dak was turning the ball over again. Like Derek Carr, it wasn't like he out there throwing for 400 yards, shredding everybody. That's not what he's doing, right?
For sure.
Okay.
Well,
I'm not scared of Derek Carr.
The only other point I'll make about Kellen Moore, and mm-hmm. I'm not. This isn't defending Kellen Moore because I have no
defending.
No, I'm not. I'm not. But I'm not saying he's done right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not saying I think he's a great coordinator, bad coordinator. But what I will say is that. there are things about the offense that look just like, that we don't like, that look just like the offense last year. And we have seen improvements with Kellen Moore here. We've seen improvements against the blitz, correct? Okay. I mean, but we also see them moving the ball slowly. And here is the most alarming thing that I've heard this week is the number of people who have called up and said, just give it to the running back every time. So here we go with weapon behind center, weapon on one side, weapon on the other side, weapon in the backfield. And all we're going to do, because even though we all said we have all these weapons, we're terrified of using any of the weapons. We just want to give the ball to the running back over and over and over again. So we should have given him $40 million and paid.
Is he not the second best player on the offense?
Sure he is.
So why wouldn't we give him the ball?
What I'm saying is, everybody wants some conservative ground-and-pound offense now, which is not what this offense was built to be.
But that's not the point. First of all, your defense is horrendous. So you need to run the ball to keep them off the field.
You need to score.
Trying to win shootouts is ridiculous when you don't have your best player available to you. So what you need to do is try to shorten the game, limit the opposition's possessions, limit how much you expose this defense being out there, asking them to do the unthinkable right now with the players they have up front. Yeah, I'd rather the Eagles win the time of possession 35, 38 minutes to 20-something minutes, and if we only score 24 points, I'm fine with that. You got to survive right now. Kansas City went to the Super Bowl and won it by surviving. Defense, ball control, offense, averaging 22 points a game.
And having the best quarterback maybe in NFL history.
And they still average 22 points a game.
And maybe
and a Hall of Fame tight end. And they still average 22 points a game.
And have the best quarterback in NFL history.
And they got him 22 points a game.
Okay, but they didn't. But we don't have they didn't have weapons all over the place.
What Andy didn't do was try to make the offense something that it wasn't capable of doing. What he did was play to his strength and said, you know what, if we don't turn the ball over and give up a bunch of points, this defense will keep us in most games because they're only giving up 17 points a game.
But we don't have that defense.
I know that, but my point, Spike, is when you limit possessions, you shorten the game. And the other team doesn't have as many opportunities to put up 30 and 40 points against you. Like that's I didn't ask to be in this position. AJ's injured. I'm adjusting, and I'm saying I don't care what I came into the season thinking. Right now, I have to adjust. So I got to play to my strengths right now, and I got to play complementary football, which means my defense can't stop anybody. And the more you throw, you stop the clock with incompletions. You're throwing to one guy who we only trust, right? So how many times we're going to deal with three and outs and giving the ball back to the other team, and they just run the ball down our throat? They just run the ball down our throat. Then you know what happens? We get behind, and now we got to throw, and we become one-dimensional again, and you're just playing right into the hands. Run the football. That's the luxury of having Saquon Barkley. It's because – you don't have to force the passing game. You can adjust for a game or two till you get your bearings and try to get a win. We got to get a win Sunday. I don't care how it looks. Am I right? Everybody's talking about the season is over with if they lose Sunday. You think you're going to feel any better if they lose 34-31? We're going to be 1-2 and we're going to find – no, what we're going to do is find out why they didn't win the game, and we're going to pick on that all week. Nobody's going to say, oh, things are looking up, man. We scored 31 points. They lost. Go find a way to get a W Sunday. And if that means 3 yards in a cloud of dust, that's what it is.
215-592-9494. For the Eagles to win on Sunday, do we need to see more out of the offense or more out of the defense? Did I just get a sick of this from you?
Yeah.
In the first segment?
Well,
first segment.
It's football season.
Yeah. Corey of Columbus starting us off. Lead off hitter. You're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
I need the church fan. You preaching today, boy?
Talk to me.
And once again, deflecting blame from the quarterback.
It's not surprising that Corey wants somebody else to win the game. And Corey, who called yesterday.
Not the $250 million quarterback.
By the way, Corey, who called yesterday or 2 days ago and said you wanted to give it to Saquon Barkley every time, even though you have Michael Jordan behind center.
I said give it to Saquon Barkley because, Vice the Ricky Sanchez guy, let me give it to you. The Sixers is a real good team, right? They can beat off that team. You got the same expectations? I just want to know because he's the best player on the team. If Embiid don't play, you expect the same thing?
I'm not talking about the Sixers.
The NBA, Corey,
yes,
we both know that an NBA team missing its best player is not the same as a wide receiver who touches the ball five times a game being out. And nobody is saying that if the Sixers had the most talented team, the most talented offense in the NFL, the NBA, which is all I heard all offseason, most talent, not best wide receiver, most talent, then if they were missing one of them, they should still be able to score. Like, you just don't want to face the reason you want to run the ball all the time, and the reason that we're throwing conservative is because they have not been as good as we expected or we said.
But I got a question. So we talk about coaching and all this type of stuff, right? So why aren't we getting Dallas Goedert involved? Oh, you're going to put that on the quarterback. But did I not just watch them put a game plan together to get Brent Covey the ball 9 times?
Dude, it's been 4 years of not getting Dallas Goedert the ball. So it's either Dallas Goedert isn't as good as we all say, because I can't think of another tight end in the NFL who everyone says is so good but catches 2 balls a game, or the quarterback doesn't want to throw the ball over the middle of the field. It's one of the two things. It's not that we have three coordinators who all just don't like Dallas Goedert.
Come on, Corey.
It's the truth.
But why can we game plan getting Brent Covey the ball? Why?
Because he is on the outside.
Is Brent Covey a top five receiver?
No.
Getting him,
what, Corey?
Corey,
what are you? Are you saying that three straight offensive coordinators simply don't like Dallas Goedert? Or what is the excuse? Why is either Dallas Goedert isn't as good as we say he is, or
we didn't have trouble getting Dallas Goedert the ball with Shane Steichen?
Well, how many catches did Dallas Goedert have that year? 45.
Well, he missed like 3 games.
Yeah. The Super Bowl year?
So he had 3 catches last game, which would be 41 catches.
When you have the whole information, right? When we said, like I just said, the offense is scoring 27 points a game based off the 2 games. You take A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is a menace. He's the game changer. You don't got a deep threat. Devontae Smith is an intermediate guy, route runner. A.J. Brown is your game-changing guy. So you're going to have to change the offense to be more methodical when you take your big game-changer away. So the defense is worse than we thought. We always said the offense was going to have to win games.
So we're going to talk about points, Corey. They allowed 22 points in the last game. You just threw 27.5 points at me, right? So they allowed 29 and 22. So how many points per game is that? That's 24 points a game. And all I heard was that this team was going to average 30. So 24 is enough. It's fine. Don't talk to me about the defense when we have the most talented offense in the league. I heard it for months.
We're talking
But hold on.
Real quick, Corey. Just because we may feel the offense could be the most talented offense in the league doesn't mean they're going to go out there and show they're the number one offense in the league every week. And it's just 2 weeks in. So you can't keep bringing up that you heard that this was the most talented offense. Did you disagree with it? I didn't hear you disagreeing with that.
Well, I've said numerous times I think the quarterback's average. So I don't know that we were going to have the best offense in the league.
Oh, okay, but I'm saying, but it's prior to the season. What were we supposed to say? We're going to have the 8th best offense in the league?
Well, I said they'd win 10 games, and everybody called me
That's
crazy.
That's fine, but the season's not over with yet.
I'm not saying it's over with. I'm saying the offense needs to win that game on Sunday. And if we're going
Sure they
in,
did. Saquon dropped the ball. Nobody.
No, this coming Sunday.
This coming Sunday.
If we're going to go into New Orleans.
Yeah, they can win it, but they don't win it by scoring 37 and 38 points. At least that's not what I'm expecting. I'd be more shocked if they score 38 points Sunday.
Well, then we have no chances.
Well, first of all, New Orleans defense isn't our defense.
Yeah, but it's not great. It's fine.
What? Let me see. I got to see what New Orleans is ranked in. We're taking their defensive rankings. They're playing at home. They got a pretty good defense. They've always had a pretty good defense. So to score 30-plus points against them, I don't know how many teams do that.
Then we're going to lose.
They might lose Sunday.
That we're going to lose. If nobody believes
they
that
are, our, they are underdogs.
If nobody believes that our offense can go there and score more than 30 points, we're going to lose. We're going to lose.
We might lose Sunday. I don't think it's a guaranteed win.
Appreciate the call, Corey.
We don't have our best player. Listen, it matters. It matters. It matters. So the season isn't over with. And they have to do what they can do to get through this period until they can get back to being healthy. So they can get back to being healthy. Are we going to like litigate preseason predictions every week? Is that what we're going to do?
No, it's okay. but it's how that it throw all the preseason predictions out the window. For all we said was that the strength of the team was going to be the offense.
It's still the offense.
Okay, well, the defense, if we're going to talk points per game, the defense has been just as good as the offense so far this year.
So by that, you believe we should think they're going to go out and win every game the rest of the season?
No. What I'm saying is that if they are going to be contenders this year, mm-hmm. it will be because the offense is better than it's been, and they have not been good enough.
Okay, but it's 2 weeks.
Yes, well, that's all I have to go on.
Well, 1 week they looked good, and then they didn't have AJ Monday.
But I didn't think they looked good, but they also turned the ball over three
yes.
times, and that is part of the offense.
Oh, come on.
And it's why they
everybody
were so...
felt good after that game and about the offense. We were being told we're overreacting to interceptions. Everybody felt good about Saquon, AJ. Jalen was number one in the league against the blitz after the first game. Nobody was complaining about the offense in
we
general.
We complained about
Jalen's
all
turnovers.
Week. But that's part
that's
of
him,
it.
Though.
But that's why?
Nah, when I say that, oh,
no.
Well, okay. Can I give you my
sure.
my view on the offense?
Yes.
It's not about just Jalen. So the offense also entails the offensive line. Everybody was worried about coming into the season. They look good. What would Saquon look like? He looked good. Would the Eagles be good against the blitz? They were able to do that. Like, that also entails how the offense looked, not just what does Jalen look like.
Well, but I would say that those interceptions and the almost interceptions led to a game plan. The game plan that you did not like on Monday night led to that game plan.
Because I think A.J. Brown being out led to that game plan.
I think the quarterback, them trying to keep the quarterback out of putting the ball in harm's way got us that game plan. And I think that's what
– back
obviously,
to the quarterback again.
Well, it's true.
If Saquon catches that pass, no one has anything to say about Jalen's game Monday night.
You're right.
Except positive things.
Sure, you're right, but – he didn't, and then Jalen threw an interception. And that
just ruined everything else he did in the game?
Well, no. I'm not saying that. But he threw for 180 yards and a touchdown. Let's not act like he was Peyton
but
Manning
the same,
out there.
So what, though? You're raving about Josh Allen, and he won throwing for 140.
And they're scoring 35 points
oh
a game.
Oh, my God.
Without all these
but
weapons.
But it's not just Josh Allen.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, they dialed him back.
Well,
so he doesn't get to throw the ball. Hold on. They turned him into a game manager.
And
he's the game manager now.
And nobody up there is saying we don't have Stephon Diggs, so we can't score.
My point
which is what we're saying about AJ Brown.
My point is you're not, you still hold him in elite company, even though they dialed him back and said he needs to be more of a game manager.
And how many interceptions has he thrown?
He hasn't thrown any because they won't let him throw.
Well, he's still thrown three less than Jalen has, and they're scoring more points than the Eagles do.
Yeah, because he's got other players on the team. My point is that you're focusing on the quarterback as if the offense, the Buffalo Bills offense, isn't thriving just because Josh Allen is doing what Josh Allen used to do. No, they're giving the ball to James Cook. He looks good. So they're doing other things. They're not putting it on Josh Allen.
By the way, I'm not just focusing on the quarterback. Devontae Smith, not good enough either. If we talk about having two number one wide receivers, then when A.J. Brown goes out, I want to see a guy who the defense respects enough to be able to make plays to other wide receivers.
Okay, well, it sounded as if this was all about Jalen.
It is partly about Jalen. It's partly about Kellen Moore. It's partly about Devontae Smith. It's partly about all of them.
And the defense.
And the
don't forget them. Do they get paid?
They get paid.
Yeah, they
some
get paid.
A little overpaid.
Yeah. Well, maybe like you. I haven't
Let's
heard
go.
You say
welcome
one
to the
thing.
Show, Warrington.
Yeah,
welcome
yeah.
to the show, Warrington.
All right. Who needs to win the game for the Eagles on Sunday, the offense or the defense?
Or Jake Elliott.
215-592-9494.
Is he part of the offense?
I don't know.
No, he's special.
What does he count as?
215-592. He's special teams.
Yeah, right. But he counts for points.
He is special teams, Jack. I'm not going to debate. The kicker is special teams.
How's the Bills kicker?
All right.
Is he a game manager?
Right, shut up. Get out of here. See, this is why we're going to be late. Jack at the end of the segment.
Just trying to be funny.
All right. 215-592-9494. We are at Chickies and Pete's in Warrington to celebrate the grand opening of their new patio, live music, and lots of giveaways tonight. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in Warrington. You can join Eagles fans at the Chickies and Pizza Terminal E at the Philly Airport before heading to Tampa next Friday for a tailgate at the gate party.
Wow.
Starts at 8 a.m. Nothing better than crab fries and beer at 8 a.m. before you get on the plane.
Maybe a little eggs?
Yeah, a little eggies in there.
Dude,
eggies.
Mixing some eggs in the crab fries?
Oh, that is not
a bad item.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. No, I just like the buzz. Buzz is making sure that because we had a conversation yesterday about the delegation not being happy with some of the return music.
Oh.
And I'm glad that Buzz got the memo as well.
He got it out of the way
to make
early.
Sure that we are still representing well.
Maybe we go day to day. Do we have a delegation on our side or no?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. You can get run out of town.
No. You're good.
Our delegation might be a hate group. I'm just saying.
No, all right. Not everybody.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Marsh Jewelers. Marsh is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Marks. Actually, two questions in there.
Yep.
First one. What have you been more disappointed in so far this season for the Eagles, the offense or the defense? The defense at 81%.
Shocking.
There you go. And is Sunday versus the Saints a must win? What do you think the percentages are on that one, Ike?
I would imagine it's yes.
Yes.
Must win? Close to 70? Let's go 68%.
Yeah, close. You were close. 63%.
63, man.
Yeah, I think the worry aside from the win-loss record and the potential of going into the bye 1-3 with Tampa the next week, aside from that, it just feels like there's a lot of little sort of iffy signs, non-on-the-field signs so far that you worry about. Well, if things start to go bad, the Devin White thing is weird, right? The Jalen Carter, not playing the first two series, a little weird.
Yeah.
The not just the Devin White not playing, but Vic Fangio saying he's fine, that. The Josh Huff thing, or the Bryce Huff, I keep saying Josh, the Bryce Huff thing, I don't know. The Nick Sirianni getting chippy with reporters after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a little weird, and I think the biggest concern for me would be if there's that much weirdness after just 1-1 with a last second, loss, I think the worry would be, oh no, does this start to spiral? Not necessarily that they couldn't come back from 1-2. Plenty of teams have done that,
Yeah, I haven't gotten that feeling yet. Okay. I haven't gotten that feeling yet. And I don't have blinders on to it. It's in the back of my mind as well. I've actually been encouraged from what I'm hearing after both games. Jalen last week with the interceptions, taking responsibility and accountability for it after the Green Bay game. Even the two-minute drill at the end of Monday night's game, he certainly fessed up and took accountability for that. Saquon after the game, taking accountability. The whole thing with the Nick Sirianni not speaking, I understand why that may seem interesting to some people. I'm not alarmed by it. I'm not going to say that's nothing or whatever. I'm not alarmed by it. Maybe here's what's difficult. I ask for Jalen to be more of a vocal leader. Ask for Jalen, not when things are going bad, to sit back and internalize and meditate on what he needs to do and try to figure it out and leave everybody else to figure it out on their own. No, I ask him to step up last year and be different. And that's what he did after the first loss of the season. So I can't in turn turn around and be like, oh, why is Jalen speaking after the it's not something he's used to doing. I'm going to try to take something positive out of it and him saying, listen, this on us. This ain't on the coach. This on us. I'll speak to the team. So I don't think he was undermining Nick as much as I think he was just trying to take ownership.
Yeah, I can see that both ways, and I think both things are possible. I was impressed by Jalen speaking afterwards, and then when I talked to Brandon Graham during the Brandon Graham show on Monday, he seemed very impressed with how Jalen delivered that message.
Right.
I think it's in the context of everything, it feels weird. In the context of the Nick and Jalen stuff,
right.
That, and it's not so much that Jalen did speak, it's more that Nick
didn't speak.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
So I don't know what to make of that.
Maybe he didn't want to. after Jalen gives such a
he didn't want to. Yeah, he didn't want to have to.
You know, he
Will.
Was gonna mess it up. Yes. After, if he goes in afterwards.
So eloquent. Yes.
Yeah.
Only the way Nick can.
Yep.
Yep.
215.
You know he was gonna ruin the vibe, man.
Yes, for sure.
Unless he was afraid.
215-592-9494.
You got the best there from one.
Andrew and Ben Salem. Andrew and Ben Salem. Andrew.
Andrew, what order are we getting? What are we getting?
Yeah. All right. Put Andrew on hold.
I don't know.
Sean in Florida, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Really happy to be on the show. I'm one of those callers who rarely calls in but is always listening. So,
appreciate it.
And just to level set the conversation, I'm 42. I've had green, eating green ever since I was,
What do you do for work?
Yeah, height and weight.
What's that?
Height and weight.
Height and weight, I'm actually a buck 74. I'm 5'8".
Okay,
that's
right.
Not bad.
Solid.
Sounds like Marks.
Yep.
I put you to shame, Crypto Bullcott on Twitter. You can check me out. I've commented to you guys. So anyway, there were two really important points I wanted to make. I was going to say, by the way, to Ike Reese, I appreciated his play on the field before you asked me that. I love.
Yeah. What was your favorite Ike Reese play?
Favorite Ike Reese play? It's got to be. We're gonna skip on that. We'll get back to that one.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Make your points because we have Nick.
Whatever happened to Ike Reese?
I just loved his passion. Let's get. To
yeah.
The
we yeah.
Left it all out there on the
Let's
field.
Yep.
They haters, man. Billy guy. Listen to them, man. They haters.
All right. So, first
the
point
delegation.
Is, I've watched enough. The first point the that I wanted point. To make right. is I've watched enough football. I've watched enough football to know that when you're walking into week 3, which is so early in the season, you have a team that just went on the road. They won big. They're feeling full of themselves. And they have a team coming in that's pissed off, quite frankly. They're upset. They're embarrassed. This is setting up for, I don't know if you want to call it an upset. I'm not going to say which team at this point is better or will be better by the end of the season, but I think this is setting up perfectly for the Eagles to come in here and win a tight one 24-23. I think they'll do the smart thing, try to control the clock, run the ball a lot. I know they have a great run defense on the safe side, but I think they're going to control the clock. I'm also going to make a bold call and say Bryce Huff's going to make his first sack. Just
all right.
Holding out hope for that.
Only 3 games into the season.
Well, to be fair, though, Reddick didn't get his first sack till week 3.
Okay. Oh, did he have his first year. Did he have a pressure?
And then,
I think so, yes.
Okay. And then the second point, and I'll hop off so that you can get to other callers, but I do want you guys to share your thoughts here. The second point I wanted to make, it's very rare for me to disagree with the godfather, Art Diddy, but I completely disagree that the call that was made to pass the ball to Saquon Barkley was the wrong call. It was not a passing play. It was a pass play run option with your franchise mobile quarterback, and he made the right decision. It was a great play call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that.
Yeah, we
one,
talked
honestly.
About that yesterday. If Saquon is covered, Saquon is covered, Jalen keeps the ball, and he goes down.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say other than that if you toss the ball to Saquon, he could drop it. Mm-hmm. If you run up the middle, he could get stopped for a 3-yard loss, which I think everyone was fine with who was calling for a run.
They just want the clock to keep running.
Yeah, he could also fumble it. I think you said something on Monday that about that play call that I thought was right on, in that if Saquon had caught that ball, everyone would have said that's what we brought Kellen Moore here for.
Yeah.
In that he designed a play to scheme our best player on offense that day, Saquon, open. And he did something that you do not expect him to do, which in that context is no different than him fumbling or no different than him dropping a toss or something. And, Mike Lombardi said yesterday, well, he's dropped more passes than any other running back. But that still is 5 or 6 a year. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's not a – it's not that – every other time you're throwing it to him, he's dropping it. He is a prolific receiver for a running back.
And he's not calling that play saying, Saquon might drop this.
Right. Correct.
He's calling that play because he feels like, get the ball to Saquon.
Yes. So we know that Ike and Jack do a lot of betting on their app on Sunday, and we're here to, or every day, we're here
yeah,
to help
on,
you.
Any day that ends in Y.
Yes, with our expert, Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider Call is presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Listen to the You Better You Bet podcast. Search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. Kostos, how we feeling?
What's going on, guys? Great to be on with you today. Happy Football Friday, and I loved the $26 million drop on Monday Night Football. Absolutely
yeah, yeah, yeah.
made my weekend.
You mean
pull your pants up?
Well, how much does Malik Nabers get paid? Because
yeah, listen,
he dropped a winning pass on Sunday, too.
I will freely admit my team's terrible, and it's pathetic, and I admit that okay. I have to take
But he's your
pleasure.
Best player on offense, right?
Neighbors?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Giants? Oh, my God. No one else is good. He's by far the best player.
Yeah, he dropped the game-winning pass.
He did, yeah.
Okay,
but listen,
all right, so
I've been
get out of
it.
Here.
It's pathetic, but there you
okay.
have it.
Okay, all right, okay. So you know, this game, the Eagles and Saints – opened up Eagles, I think, -2.5 or -3 and has swung all the way over to the other side. I think part of that was I feel like the -2.5 or -3 was before A.J. Brown got hurt. Whatever it is, it has come to now Saints -2.5 or -3. Which side do you like, if either?
Spike, I just want to say, like, yeah. you nailed that. You're, like, 100% right about everything you said there,
okay.
Including, like, the A.J. Brown being a big part of that, the line swinging towards New Orleans. And I think, you know, I'm going to give you a guess here as to how this game is going to play out, and I think we're basically all guessing with this one. No one really knows how good the New Orleans Saints actually are just yet. But what I can tell you guys is, just from a betting perspective, and like we can remove like the Eagles fandom for 1 second and just think about the Saints, right, this season. We see this every year in the NFL where there is a team, and this could be negative also, but in this instance positive, like wildly exceeds expectations early in the season, and the betting market kind of doesn't know what to do with this team. And the example that I'll give you with this game is, though New Orleans has been bet out to a favorite, they are existing in this zone where this point spread is 2.5, but it's really, really close to being Saints -3. 3 is the most important number when we talk about betting in the National Football League. And every time the number hits 3, the Saints become a 3-point home favorite, immediately resistance comes in and people bet the Philadelphia Eagles, like grabbing the important number of 3. So that tells me that people are really unsure about what we're going to see on Sunday, because I wouldn't be surprised if when the game's over, the Eagles win. And we say, well, the Eagles were better coming into the year. And people could say what they want about Nick Sirianni. He's a better coach than Dennis Allen. And I don't think anyone would be surprised if the Eagles won this game. I also don't think, seriously now, and even like the Eagles fans with the most green-colored glasses would have to admit, in a game without A.J. Brown here, where I think they're up against it a little bit defensively against the Saints offense with an actual competent offensive coordinator, would it really be that surprising if the Saints won the game by 10 points? Like, if the Saints won the game going away.
I don't think anyone would be surprised with either of those, you know.
Right? So yeah, I think it makes it, Spike, a really difficult game to bet. My instinct is, I think that, you know, if the Eagles were fully healthy and A.J. Brown's playing, I feel a little differently. He's not playing. I do like the Saints in the game. The way that I would play it, and not like your audience like wants to bet against the Eagles, but it would be to play alternates. Like, lay 9.5 with the Saints at plus money. If you think the Saints are going to win. Because if they win, I think they might dominate. But I am guessing on this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you know, on the Saints, I think there's a lot of people saying, well, this can't be real, can it? And until we see more than two games, I think that's how people are going to feel about the Saints. You know, so I hear that. So what are your best ones? By the way, you know, everyone has wins and losses. Your Raiders call last week was a solid one.
Yeah.
The Raiders plus the points over the Ravens. So what are your three best ones this weekend?
All right, so three best. And by the way, don't be surprised when the Saints offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak, is a head coach in the NFL next season, like doing an unbelievable job with the Saints offense. All right, three best bets in the NFL this weekend. I guess I can't really do Titans-Packers just in case Jordan Love plays, but I'll say this. If Jordan Love does not play for Green Bay, I don't think he's going to. The betting market says he's not going to play. So for people that play fantasy or football fan, whatever, he practiced again today in a limited fashion for the Packers. Initial reports said he wouldn't be back until week 4 or week 5. I guess there's a chance he plays on Sunday on the road in Tennessee. The betting market, though, says he's not going to play. Tennessee is close to being a 3-point home favorite. If it's Malik Willis, and if we get confirmation that it's not Love, it's Malik Willis, Titans at any number below 3, -2.5, I think is a strong bet. Green Bay will not be able to run the ball on this Titans defensive front. front like they did last week against Indianapolis. So Titans under 3 at home against the Green Bay Packers if Malik Willis is going to start. To Minnesota, give me the Houston Texans minus the 2 on the road at the Vikings. And I love the Vikings this season. I actually think, for people that like to bet awards, Kevin O'Connell should be the favorite in this market right now for Coach of the Year. Like, he might win this award at season's end. But the point spread being what it is, Houston minus 2 in a game with a reasonably high total, if you bet the Vikings, you need Sam Darnold to win this game. And he's been really good. I'm not trying to hate on Sam Darnold. The Texans are better. Stroud's better. I'll take the Houston Texans, and I will lay the small number on the road. So give me Houston on the road at Minnesota. And I'll give you, how about this? 2 on Monday Night Football, both in the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Number one, the Jaguars to cover the 5.5 on the road in Buffalo, and I think the Jaguars might win that game outright. Kitchen sink game for Jacksonville, has to win. Like, Doug Peterson's job might be on the line here, so Jaguars to cover, and then 7.5 or better. Give me Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. I watched every snap of that game last week against my Giants. Daniels is the real deal. Commanders plus 7.5 to cover the spread Monday night in Cincinnati.
You have a prop for us, the prop king, Nick Kostos.
Yeah,
you gave us Devontae Smith. I think it was over 59.5 yards.
A Wandell Robinson anytime touchdown last week.
Yep. So what do you got for us?
The numbers moved up a little bit. My sense, and no one in your audience is going to want to bet this, but like, this is
disagree.
So
there's two of us that will.
Yeah, and by the way, Nick, what you got to understand is Philadelphia is a big emotional hedge market.
Okay.
So we will bet against our team with no problem, actually.
Okay,
so what do you got?
So this will move in between now and kickoff, and I want to be careful because nothing's a lock. Like, bets can lose, the player can get hurt, anything can happen. I feel really good about this one. So because the Saints games, the first two games of the season, have gone the way they have, the offense has been really concentrated through Alvin Kamara and Rashid Shaheed, right, who's had a couple explosive touchdowns already this season. We have seen Chris Olave, shout out to Dean Martin. We've seen Chris Olave, his statistics suffer the first two games of the season. Like, against this Eagles secondary, with their lack of a pass rush thus far, with the way the Saints are running offense, I think this profiles as a big Chris Olave game. 61.5 is the number for Olave receiving yards. Let's go over that number coming up on Sunday against the Eagles.
Well,
what do you think about Kelce in the booth?
I mean, like, it's fine. Like, he's really entertaining and it's awesome. Just like,
you could be honest.
What I said was, it felt like I was, and I love WIP. Like, you guys are great. It felt like we were watching WIP. Like, it was an Eagles Homer broadcast.
What's the problem?
You lost. you lost.
They're winning in the third quarter.
They were winning in the third quarter. But, I mean, look, you guys can be honest, right? Like, let's say it were Eagles. I don't even know who it would be. Like, here's, like, Roddy White in the booth for the third quarter or something.
Or Ike.
Who would like that? Who would want that? Who wants that?
Yeah, well, I mean,
nobody.
We're lucky we have one of the most prolific media personalities that happen to be a Philadelphia Eagle. The world loves him. Nick.
Maybe he's
Dexy will do it in 15 years.
Maybe not. He's great on ESPN. He's awesome already. He's an awesome broadcaster already. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Can we stop talking about Jason Kelce like he's a combination of Michael Jordan and Tom Cruise? Like, it's not that interesting.
Pretty close.
Like, the nation doesn't care that much. I promise.
There it is.
There he is. We love you, man. There he is. I appreciate you, brother.
Can I hit you with 20 seconds baseball? 20 seconds, promise.
Yeah.
So yesterday on you guys will like, Jack will like this. So went through. Like, I'm trying to think about the baseball playoffs already. The teams in each league that I think could actually win the World Series, I came up with 2 in each league.
Okay.
In the NL, the Philadelphia Phillies are one of those teams. And in the American League, unfortunately, my New York Yankees are not one of those teams. So we'll see what happens when the regular season ends coming up next Sunday.
Wow. What are the Phillies to win the World Series? They're like plus 600 or something, last time I looked?
I think they are. If they're not the favorite, they should be because –
in the National League, but I mean to win the World Series. I don't think the Dodgers are the favorite in the National League.
The Dodgers should not be the favorite. They will not win one postseason round.
In fact, they won't win one postseason round?
Their pitching's horrendous.
Okay.
I don't care who they play in the NLDS. I will bet against them, and I will feel I could lose the bet, and I'll feel they have no starting pitching, none, zero. How are they winning the World Series?
I don't know. I know last time I looked, I don't think I've looked for a few days, but I think the Dodgers were minus 235 or plus 235 in the National League.
They are plus 165. I have it up here. The Phillies plus 240. I mean, God
to win the National League.
Like, Phillies, I mean, I would have a large bet on the Phillies in a postseason series against the Dodgers.
There you go. Tone it down a notch.
Yeah. There he is. Appreciate you, brother.
You guys and all your listeners, Minimal Sweats, Winning Bets, the absolute very best of luck.
There he is. Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider Call is presented by BetMGM. Go and check out all the latest lines at the BetMGM app. We have a lot to talk with Elliot about next. Want to ask him about Vic Fangio's answer yesterday regarding Devin White and special teams and what he took from that. Mm-hmm. Whether C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who all of a sudden is injured but said at practice today, see you Sunday, what that means. Ah. So we will talk to Elliot Shore Parks next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.